Here are some insights into spiritual warfare. I'd like to add to your perspective on spiritual warfare if you already have an opinion, or this may inform you if you don't have any opinion about it. I'd like to walk you through verse by verse a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 6 that people use in spiritual warfare. Some people say this as part of their daily protection prayers. Others go through placing each element of the armor that's described there on their bodies. I know people who go after demons with praying in tongues and fierce language, or you may be unsure as to what all of this means, even the idea of spiritual warfare, but you're hoping that something you do puts a barrier between you and the attacks of Satan. Hopefully this little article will give you some insights and reassurances that you may not have had before concerning spiritual warfare. I've added some links in the end notes of the document to help you find more information on many of the topics briefly referred to in this article. And I put the entire passage from Ephesians at the end of the article, and I'll read it at the end as well. Let's talk first about the first verse of that passage, being strong in the Lord and his mighty power. That one sentence involves a lifetime pursuit of God's presence and God's friendship. It has to do with a gradual alignment of our soul and our body with our spirit man, which is the part of us that carries the person of Christ. Now, there are a bunch of other articles on these topics throughout the website. For now, I just want to concentrate on the concept of spiritual warfare, okay? So what does it mean to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power? Now, that takes a deep down confidence in several beliefs, okay? Number one, that God has a good opinion of us. In other words, he's more interested in what is right about us than what is wrong with us. And that's because the blood of Jesus has addressed all the bad stuff. Every time we choose to reject a judgmental, condemning, or accusatory thought or word about ourselves or others, guess what? That's effective spiritual warfare, and we're defeating the enemy. Number two, God is a loving Father who wants to protect and provide for us, both physically and emotionally. Just your believing that helps to release it over your life. And when we see areas of our lives where we are being deprived, we can respond with faith, and that deprives the enemy of ammunition against us. Before God can meet certain needs in us, he may need to change our character some so that we're even capable of receiving blessing. Think of the spies that Moses sent out into the promised land, how 10 of them saw the promised land and what God wanted to give them as somehow a trap rather than an opportunity. And that came up out of their unbelief that God wasn't interested in protecting and providing for them. So, we need to look at that. Do we have that strong belief inside that God actually does want to protect and provide us? And of course, he'll have to help us with us if we don't have that. Thirdly, what other confidence do we need to have? Well, God wants to help us grow in character. And though he doesn't cause evil, he will always use whatever comes your way to make you stronger and stronger in him. When we choose to believe that God can and will turn every situation to ultimately be a positive influence on us, that releases a wave of trouble for the enemy. Satan sticks to the same old story all the time. It's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. He tries to sell you the line that God is evil, he's not good, he wants to deprive you, not provide for you. Number four, we need to have firm confidence that God is powerful enough to do anything and that he is looking for people who truly believe that nothing is impossible with him. Now, it's hard to believe, but there was actually a town reported in the New Testament that Jesus passed through where he couldn't do many miracles because of the people's unbelief. That was Jesus. He needed the people to believe in him. We have a choice every moment, every day, in every situation to choose hope instead of negativity. It doesn't mean you don't feel badly, but it means that you're choosing that somehow, some way, God has an answer for you. Choosing to hope, which is free, by the way, instead of negativity and gloom, especially by what you're saying, makes the enemy sick. You end up oppressing the oppressor by that kind of attitude. By now, I hope you're getting the picture that the greatest weapons of our warfare come out of our thoughts and our words. We have great authority to defeat the enemy by our view of God and the choices we make in response to life situations. Let me repeat that. We have great authority to defeat the enemy by our view of God and the choices we make in response to life situations. And you'll find these themes repeated as we go through the rest of the Ephesian verses. Okay, it tells us to put on the full armor of God and to take our stand against the devil's schemes. Now, it's a good idea to investigate in our lives where opposition is originating. Is it really the devil? Or is it our own bad choices? Or is it just the way of the world? There's a lot of injustice here, if you haven't noticed. And lastly, could God himself be opposing us in this matter that we're praying about? Richard Kinney has a great talk on the website addressing this very issue. It's in the School of the Lion, lesson number 3. The next part of the verse says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. How often do we envision other people as being the cause of our struggle and unhappiness? We play the blame game and assume the role of being someone else's victim. Now, I'm not saying there isn't victimization and injury in this world at the hand of others, but our reaction to their actions determines how much we will be devoured by the enemy in the process. We can choose to declare in the midst of problems that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. This creates a wall of fire around our attitudes that burns the enemy. Now we're reminded in Ephesians chapter 6 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay, let's talk about that a minute. Now remember, we are being strong in God's mighty power, not our own. We're not going to take on the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places without a full participation by God. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. Because of his authority, we can command demons to leave. More than that, we can release angels to do warfare. The angels have a certain amount of authority and are always ready to respond to any request which lines up with what God wants to do. Once we discern God's will, we can join our authority in Christ with that of the angels for much more powerful prayers. Also, we will need to grow in discernment so we can determine when a demon is involved and not just a human or cultural element. We want to avoid either extreme of the spectrum. So one extreme is there's no such thing as demons, and at the other end is seeing a demon in every corner and overlooking the possibility that people often choose to do evil, and sometimes it's just time and chance happens to us all. So we can take on spiritual forces. We can't take on spiritual forces, but God can. We are seated in the heavens with Christ. And there's an article on the website about that. We are waiting for God to make every enemy our footstool. In the meantime, we can accept that the enemy uses people to do his bidding at times. He inspires them to cooperate with evil. It is very similar to us being moved by the Holy Spirit to do good works and have healthy attitudes, but it produces bad fruit instead of good. People get inspired by Satan, bad fruit. People get inspired and act on it by the Holy Spirit, good fruit. Satan loves to manipulate us as well and try to get us to play for his team, especially when we get negative, we're playing for his team. He is scared off by someone who keeps committing themselves to God's care, even when other people are doing them harm. So put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. The idea here is that you are living a lifestyle of believing and declaring good over yourself, over your family, your life circumstances, your possibilities, etc. Pay attention to every negative thought and word you speak. That's an open invitation to the enemy to attack you. Closing those convenient loopholes for him is spiritual warfare par excellence. stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Ask God to make you a lover of truth, a speaker of truth. Ask Him to show you the lies you have believed about Him, yourself, your life, other people. Meditate on God's Word. Learn to hear God's voice so the Holy Spirit can speak truth to you throughout your day. Truth will protect you from the lies of the enemy. And what about the breastplate of righteousness? Jesus Christ is our righteousness, and He lives in us. I have a little saying about this. I am God's house, and He lives in me. What does that mean? Well, whether or not you recognize the supernatural character that dwells in you, it's still there. He's still there. The process of becoming righteous is waking up to something you have already been given, not you changing into something you never were. And we have an article on the treasure hidden within that you can look up for more information on that. A breastplate covers your vital organs area. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is our guarantee of adoption into God's family with all its privileges and powers. We will be discovering all the treasures of being in Christ beginning now and continuing into eternity. We want our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Some people think it is just about sharing the gospel with others. Now, I'm not contradicting that, but I'm adding another interpretation. Feet represent our understanding. It is where we take a stand. One of the greatest weapons against the enemy is peace. Our choice to rest in the Father's arms, no matter what people are doing or saying, no matter what storm is raging about us, provides a higher ground in warfare. Satan has an uphill battle trying to get to us. He runs from someone who abides in the peace of Christ. And the field of faith that we carry extinguishes the flaming arrows of the evil one. Everything we have detailed so far has to be guarded by a believing attitude. The enemy is constantly challenging our faith in God's character and our faith in God's commitment to us. He wants to ignite in us fear, worry, hopelessness, torment, etc. And guess what? We are incapable of mustering up our own faith. The faith we have is a gift from God, and He constantly invites us to open up the gift and use it. So if you feel that your faith tank is running on low, you need to go spend time with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and get a renewed vision of the gift of faith He has given you through your friendship with God. The end result of faith is rest. You can tell you are truly believing in God when you can relax and rest no matter what is going on. How about the helmet of salvation? What's that? Well, a helmet protects your most important body part, our connection to God. The fact that He made us His child is our greatest piece of armor in defense of the enemy's attacks. Keep going back to God as a loving and attentive parent who wants to be with you. As you grow in embracing His vision of you, the enemy will find it more and more difficult to harass you, particularly in your thinking. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Learn the Bible and also learn to hear God's voice. When the enemy starts proclaiming his lies, whether in your own head or through something outside of you, pull out the Word of God, whether the truth you learned in the Bible or the words that God has spoken over you in the secret place or through prophecy. You can attack the enemy with truth. We also use the promises of God to declare the way things should be. Once we hear God's voice and know His will in a matter, we begin to declare with confidence God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and be specific on what you want to declare. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Do you know how to pray in tongues? That is one way to pray in the Spirit. Another is to allow the Holy Spirit to come on you and give you words to pray. Both are effective for bringing heaven to earth when led by the Holy Spirit. Remember, everything we do that creates effective warfare is done with God. That is the true nature of what it means to abide in Him. Here's a whole scripture passage from Ephesians 6:10-18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.